93.5 WCOM Radio. This is Furious George, 10 o'clock straight up here on Thursday night. I do this every Thursday because, gosh, it helps relieve the stress. And just going along with that theme, I might as well let folks know this show may be offensive to some of you out there in our listening audience. Probably for the rest of you, namely some of my friends who just left the studio. We'll keep you happy and your toes tapping and your irate feelings flowing when we pull some of these cool clips up. In the meantime, you're listening to micro-powered community-based radio. You want to learn more about it? Communityradio.coop online, the World Wide Web, of course. And you can check FuriousG.blogspot out when you get a chance. Thanks for listening to micro-powered radio. I'm Furious. I'll be back.
When Barack Obama ran for president, he campaigned on a platform that included affordable health care, raising taxes on those making $250,000 a year or more, pulling back from Iraq, reasserting ourselves in Afghanistan, a major reinvestment in energy technologies and education. And since being elected, he has moved, sometimes with speed, sometimes with caution in those directions, or put it another way.
There's a road to tyranny, and I believe we're headed on that road.
Fascism is coming. Intimidation is yet another part of the slow erosion of our liberties. They want the population to surrender their liberties to the government.
You're in very dangerous water to the freedoms that exist in this country.
They're controlling your life.
So not only is Obama a total pushy who's going to let Europe run roughshod over us, he's also an iron-fisted tyrant who will crush anyone who doesn't bend to his will. Things have gotten so bad. Well, I'll let you know.
My children go to a public school in Westwood, in Los Angeles. And since Barack Obama is the president, they no longer call it St. Patrick's Day. They're calling it Potato Day. This political correctness is dangerous. It's the destruction of language.
Smoking only trees at 100 degrees.
I don't think that request is coming from Obama himself. And B, I'm not Irish, but I'm not sure Potato Day is more politically correct than St. Patrick's Day. I think it might be worse. By the way, also at that school, you're no longer allowed to say Merry Christmas. Now you have to say, "Heady legs them apples, Jew boy." So, government's taking over our schools, our corporations, our healthcare, our personal liberties. Scary. And while President Bush was the one who started the bailouts, nationalized an insurance company, added a $17 trillion prescription drug entitlement program, had a government-mandated public school initiative literally titled No Child Left Behind, wiretapped citizens without warrants, created secret internment camps in international waters behind the reach of our justice system, and allowed his vice president to live in a netherworld between the executive and legislative branch, where his house did not exist on Google Earth. Only now, with the advent of Potato Day, has tyranny come to our shores? Crazy to power, Minnesota representative and free-range cougar, Michelle Bachmann.
I believe that there's a very strong chance that we will see that young people will be put into mandatory service. And the real concern is that there are provisions for what I would call re-education camps for young people, where young people have to go and get trained in a philosophy that the government puts forward.
We educate them in camps? We have to educate them first.
Excuse me, I'm in the bomb shelter. for Last Day Children.
You're doing a great job, and I have no doubt they'll keep attacking you because you're so effective. Thank you for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you. We're going to fight for our freedom.
Absolutely. Against tyranny.
Yes, tyranny, a.k.a. our democratically elected president. You know what, guys? Meet me at camera three very quickly. I think you might be confusing tyranny with losing. And I feel for you because I've been there a few times. In fact, one of them was a bit of a nail biter. But see, when the guy that you disagree with gets elected, he's probably going to do things you disagree with. Could cut taxes on the wealthy, remove government's oversight capability, invade a country that you thought should not be invaded, but that's not tyranny. That's democracy. See, now you're in the minority. It's supposed to taste like a taco. And by the way, if I remember correctly, when disagreement was expressed about that president's actions when y'all were in power, I believe the response was, "Why do you hate America? Watch what you say, love it or leave it, suck on my truck nuts." A tyrant stifles dissent. In a tyranny, all are required to worship at the feet of the flawless dear leader. Okay, I'll give you that one.
my friends, if there is any one thing that we must see today, is that these are revolutionary times. All over the globe, men are revolting against old systems of exploitation and oppression.
Welcome back to Your Money. I'm Ali Velshi, and I'm here in Los Angeles, California this week. From the housing market to job loss to the fight for a state budget, California's been a case study for America's struggling economy.
The budget falls billions of dollars short of what it needs to stay afloat.
Right now, it's coming down to fear.
Fear for people like Mildred Copeland, who's 84 and still waiting tables after 34 years.
Unlike the recession in the early 90s, which was driven by the collapse of aerospace in California, employees in all sectors of the economy feel like they're at risk for their jobs.
Already, tens of thousands have lost their jobs this year. In February, unemployment in California reached 10.5% and going up.
Most of the projections get us up to somewhere around 12% between now and this time next year.
55 homes in foreclosure. But that's not something Mildred has to worry about. Her home is paid for.
I thank God every day.
For what?
For a job. So my home is paid for, and I don't have to worry. That's one thing I don't have to worry about.
A good thing in a state that's in a constant state of crisis. It took a record 3 months for legislators to pass a budget. The stalemate brought California to the brink of financial collapse. Mildred says she doesn't like the way it's being run.
When I woke up, all you called was the shade on my hat, on my face. My wits are unable to strain in my ways. Pain's engraved in my physical days, in physical ways. Like a physical strain from my individual way. Meanwhile, I'm not fulfilled. This feeling should not be still. Rewind time and rewind lines, but it can't serve you to feel. Docile, if you so will, fragile, then it go downhill. Making one forget in time, that time to be refilled. They say if you snooze, you lose. Wanna spend my day days in refuses. Because I blaze all day, unfaith and that's no news. If it's new to you, this is Yara. Red and the blues, don't be used to it. Running mascara, I refuse. Closed doors prevent the outside is from you. And struggling alone makes it tougher pursuing dreams. But it seems hard, I get a sleepless nights. My mares, I've been losing the ones and losing fight. Blue birds flew over the fields of sorrow as a lift. Seeing the dreams, watching the soul swallow. Left you for more, left the wrong part of many will fall. A lot more will follow. Continue determination, restless infection, destroy, spread your vaccination. And I will head to my destination. I stand alone at the crossroads of death. Inhale your breath, I've lost souls to left. In and out of consciousness, drinking wine reminds me of what honest is. And we wonder where the hell the logic is. We all lost, we all. ourselves, but then we all fall through the walls. Through it all, who we are, no denying that I proper ourselves at all. The bluebird flew over the field so sorry after I left the scene in the dreams, watching his soul swallow. Left you for more, left that one bottle. Man, you will fall, a lot more will follow. Watching the soul swallow, left you for more. Left that warm hollow, ready to fall. A lot more will follow. The bluebird flew over the fields of sorrow. After left to see in their dreams, watching the soul swallow, left you for more. Left that warm hollow, ready to fall. A lot more will follow. The bluebird flew over the fields of sorrow. After left to see in their dreams, watching the soul swallow, left you for more. Left that warm hollow, ready to fall.
Sitting in for Clifford Baines, who was never that great of a host anyway. Scientists at a remote laboratory in Phoenix announced this week they have bioengineered a race of 75-foot-tall, extremely strong crabs to assist with large construction projects. An op-ed in the New York Times says, quote, "We have absolutely no reason to be worried about these giant crabs at all." And they do seem as if they'll be very helpful, don't they?
Yes, I don't see why we should be concerned. The scientists who created these huge super crabs have promised there's no way for them to get out of their constraints and turn on their human masters.
Yeah, I trust the scientists. Yes. They know what they're doing.
You know, these crabs are going to be great for America's construction projects because I've read that these crabs are so strong that they can lift and throw objects as large as cars and passenger
trains. Absolutely. And, you know, the acid that the crabs shoot from their mouths up to 300 yards.
Wow.
That is going to be so helpful in melting down loose debris on construction sites.
Wall Street Journal thinks that they are going to be a huge boost to the economy.
It's being run.
California used to be a great place to live.
Mildred says she's optimistic the state will make a comeback. Economic forecasts predict it will, but not before 2012. Experts say the main thing that's driving California's economic crisis is the way our tax structure is based.
Oh, absolutely.
I can see the headlines now. Giant crabs descend upon Detroit, rebuild failing infrastructure, and revitalize downtown.
That would be
right?
So grand.
As I'm sure you read, the crab's inventor, Dr. Lester Murdoch, told Time magazine, "My army of super crabs will change the world forever. All shall know the name of Dr. Lester Murdoch."
And you know, it is so inspiring the way he found success after that horrible military accident.
Our general fund revenues come from personal tax income. So when people at the top tier start to hurt because of the stock market crash or the collapse in values of high-end real estate, the state fund revenues suffer as well. Allie.
That woman who you had in your story, the woman who'd been a waitress, I almost wonder whether people who live close to the edge but don't carry a lot of debt are not as affected by this recession. They've sort of been living in that state for a while. There's not a lot of room that they've had to fall.
Allie, you're absolutely right. I think that's the lesson here. You look at somebody like Mildred. She's 84 years old.
That left a meeting to have got a claw for her hand. It would have made anybody else bitter and vengeful, but not him. He went on to give us giant, marvelous crabs.
But some people aren't so sure. There's a letter to the editor in the Washington Post today from a mild-mannered mathematician with an attractive female assistant saying that we should be very careful not to allow our hubris to make us think that we can ever totally control nature.
Oh,
That's ridiculous. I've had enough of these naysayers.
Oh, they just love stopping progress.
And the research has shown that these crabs are unusually intelligent.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, did you hear about the baby crab that solved the Rubik's Cube that a security guard had left on the table? That's a smart crab.
Phenomenal.
Leslie, you're going to see the first public unveiling of the largest of the crabs tomorrow, the queen crab in New York City. Is that right?
Leslie. Yes. We'll be crowded into the thousands down there in Times Square.
You are the luckiest person.
Thank you. We're all going to be cheering. There's going to be a lot of flash photography.
I'm sure the crabs are going to love all that attention.
It's expanding the men's college basketball tournament to include 4,096 teams. We'll separate the contenders from the pretenders in this hot and sweaty edition of the Steam Room.
This is the Steam Room, where only the strongest opinions can stand up to the heat. Alongside OSN college basketball analyst Joe Monticello, I'm Tim Devan. And Joe, welcome to the Steam Room. You ready to sweat out some answers?
I'm ready, Tim.
Then close the door before the steam gets out. Steam Room begins now. Joe, is this a good move for the NCAA?
Great move, Tim. I love this idea. There are just so many quality teams out there that lost a tough game, couldn't get over that 5-win hump, or haven't even played a game yet this season.
And it's great that the league finally let them all in. Now, Division II and III schools will be let in for the first time ever. Is this going to bring down the level of play?
Absolutely not. Arkansas Tech had a great year. So did Flagler. So did Emporia State.
Let's turn up the heat and talk about Eckerd.
Look out for Eckerd. They've got a full roster, and they're having practices.
So the league then will get to air next for a couple thousand games, and we're going to get college hoops all the way through June.
June madness. We'll be right back.
might want to sit down, shorty.
I wish you were here. These people and I have been through hell together. Welcome to the board. Good to have you with us. Nation, right off the bean here, I'm going to salute an American hero, Florida GOP Congressman Bill Posey, who has taken it upon himself to end some scurrilous gossip about President Obama. Last week, Posey introduced a bill requiring presidential candidates to submit a copy of their birth certificate to prove their eligibility. Now, I would also request a urine sample. Not for authenticity's sake, just as a really unique presidential memento. Who wouldn't want some Van Buren urine? The kids are dying for it. And we all remember how questions about Obama's citizenship raged during the 2008 election.
The blogosphere is still abuzz over Mr. Obama's eligibility to serve as president.
What would be really helpful is if Senator Obama would release primary documents like his birth certificate.
Give him the birth certificate and put an end to it, friend and church.
That rumor was very persistent, almost as persistent as the unfounded rumor that cable news has ended. Now, sure, President Obama did provide his birth certificate, which anyone can see online, but that only started new distressing rumors. If that's a real Hawaiian birth certificate, why isn't it etched onto a coconut?
Archaeologists in Argentina have uncovered the first complete skeleton of the world's oldest sexual predator.
Thank you.
Never used any form of illicit substance. I'm just not interested. I've never used marijuana. I do use alcohol. I don't recommend that our young people do that either. Of course, it is against the law, but even if it weren't, this is something that they want to look into, to be careful what they put into their bodies. But in lots of ways, the worst, the most harmful thing about marijuana, for example, is jail. People don't realize, young people particularly, that if they are convicted, at least in California, of any marijuana offense at all, they probably will lose their student loans. It's the same thing with government housing, that they weren't because it wasn't appropriate. But then Congress steps in. So before, okay, there was a conviction, but now we'll make it a mandatory 5 years in prison. And then thought, now we've resolved the problem. And of course, they'd look at themselves 3 or 4 years later, after this was employed, and they say, gee, we have a lot more people in jail and prison now, but the situation's not better. Let's make it 10 years. Let's make it 15. Let's make it life. You can talk about a death penalty if you want to. It won't make any difference. And in fact, all it really does is scare off the lower level drug dealers and makes more of a profit motive for the big time drug dealers, because you cannot stop people from taking even sizable criminal justice risks for making large amounts of money by selling small amounts of drugs. There will always be people that will take that risk. Those are problems that we are facing today. Because the alcohol is regulated and controlled by the government, and the illegal drugs are controlled by illegal drug dealers, and they don't ask for ID. So as a result, if our young people want to get any of these drugs, they can. It's easier than alcohol. Now, can our children get alcohol? Yes, we all know they can, but at least it's more difficult than it is any of these other drugs. Ask the question. How many of you young people have ever had someone offer you a free sample of marijuana or methamphetamine, ecstasy, whatever, on your high school campus? And a lot of them will raise their hand. How many of you have ever had somebody offer you a free sample of Budweiser beer or Jim Beam bourbon on your high school campus? And of course, it isn't done. Why? Because the manufacturers are regulated and controlled, and they know full well that they'll get severely punished, as well they should be, for doing such a thing. So it's easier for them to get the illegal drugs, if they want to.
Get ready for more madness.
drinking water, by collecting the morning dew and human skulls.
Yes, or how to deal with depression when the sun is blocked out for 500.
Record to bring you a special bulletin.
You're used by a cloud of radioactive dust.
However, still around. Always be there.
This got this.
Apocalyptic landscapes. But are these going to be enough to prepare our kids for the actual post-apocalyptic future we will all soon face?
Well, I think they are. Studies have shown that these games are quite effective at teaching our kids skills that they'll need after the apocalypse, like finding shotgun ammo and leading elite squads of super soldiers.
But these aren't the advanced skills that they're going to need. They're going to need the more practical skills, like how to build a shelter from abandoned cars, or how to find drinking water by collecting the morning dew and human skulls.
Or how to deal with depression when the sun is blocked out for 500 years by a cloud of radioactive dust.
Absolutely. Now, that's the type of knowledge these kids are going to need when their world has been turned into a brutal hellscape.
But these games don't have to be an accurate depiction of a post-apocalyptic world. They just need to teach the basic concepts, which they do. 72% of kids said that they know how to find items to barter at weapon shops, and how to use medicine packs to heal zombie bites with these video games.
That's excellent. Now, the game Fallout 3 has taught my son Charlie that it's easier to kill cyborgs with a grenade than a machine gun.
The games make it all seem deceptively simple. I mean, in the future, a kid's not going to be able to kill a 6-foot-long irradiated beetle just by pressing a few buttons, and he's going to have to get down there with an axe and hack and hack and hack.
David, our kids are going to have the rest of their lives to get actual experience in how to desperately fight for survival.
Exactly. What's important is that we teach our children the fundamentals now so that they can be successful in whatever nightmare scenario they may find themselves.
Well, if they survive that long.
Another flaw with these games is that most kids will become mutants themselves once the apocalypse hits.
It's a huge problem.
I think that it's a chance that we're going to have to take. Playing video games all day, alone and friendless, is simply the best way that we have to prepare our children for a life of solitude in the barren world.
From an epic time comes an epic hero.
I refuse to live in a world where good men are shot in the anus.
We'll be right back.
103.5 WCOM Radio. I'm Furious George signing off. I'll be back next week. Hey, listen, I got something special. If you guys have been listening to WCOM for a while, you know who this person is. DJ Bourne, he's back. His friend Cotton, they're going to have a great show coming up. Stick around for that at 11 o'clock. And I think very possibly permanently on the WCOM dial for Thursday nights, like the old school style. I'll be back next Thursday. I'm Furious George. You can check it out online, furiousg.blogspot.com. If you want to learn more about the show or other things like what I play, I really don't go through each song list, but I can tell you primarily we play a lot of Flying Lotus, West Coast hip-hop, underground stuff from J Dilla there in the background. There's some Mad Lib off his Mad Beat Conductor album. The new stuff, Dilla. I'll be back next Thursday. Thanks for listening to Micropowered Community-Based Radio. I'm Furious. Have you lived enough today? Has each hour been fully tasted?
This is a test one, test two. Solstice Lounge, three times. The coolest of the breezes in the seas of the O's. Caught toes in your nose. All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. One, two.